Dave is going to bring us our reading now.
Reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and it's from the, or it is the New Living Translation, so it might be slightly different wording than you're perhaps used to. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What shall I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now, take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God."
This is on the subject that's for today, and that's the rich fool, greed. And when I looked in detail at this quite short passage, I thought, well, there are some good bits and some bad bits, but you've got to look through it a little bit to see which is good and which is bad. And it's not a passage that I would dig deep into, but it just says some reasonably obvious things about how we should approach the things that we do in life and the qualities we have in life, in the same way as the rich farmer approached his farm, at least to start with, and then after that to do better than he did in terms of how we respond to it. So let's see how we get on with that. But first of all, the bottom line: it was a successful business, but not a complete business. Now, what we often miss, I think, in this passage, and I only realised when I had a look through it, was that the rich man with a fertile farm, he ran a successful business. There was no particular problem about that. And when we go down as far as verse 18, it's all good stuff. And it made me think of the expression, the bottom line. Now, a lot of people who've been in business or maybe other things, do you know what the bottom line means? Because you've got your income from your business, and you've got the costs, and you've got the bit at the bottom, which is called the bottom line. And that is evident in all sorts of things. If you came to the church meeting last week, you would see there was income, there was costs, and there was a bottom line. And I didn't try and add it up, but I'm sure you got it right. And in our household expenses, there's income, whether it be pensions, allowances, salaries, or whatever. And there's our expenses, and there's something at the bottom of that where we think, now, have I got anything to carry over till next month? That's the bottom line. And the thing is, that was not a problem with this particular farmer. He was very good at what he did. He wasn't a poor, poor farmer. He was a rich, rich farmer. And it says here, he had a fertile farm, fine crops. And he said, "I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat." So he actually was doing so well, he needed to build more of barns to put his increasing stock in. So it was a good business. And when I finished reading that, I thought, well, that's quite an obvious thing. What is he going to do now? I thought, well, if you're running a business like that, whether it's in farming or anything, what you do is you go and use your bottom line to buy more land and to employ more people, and you make it a bigger farm. So you've got a bigger inheritance to pass on to whoever you want to pass your inheritance on to. And that's what you normally expect companies to do, isn't it? Or if you're running a charity, be it a church or anything else, if you've got the bottom line, you don't just keep it there and do nothing with it. You say, well, what can we invest this in to actually improve the work of our charity? So when we've been reading this so far, the bottom line means that he was successful, but it wasn't a complete business. Why wasn't it a complete business? There were simply two fairly basic reasons why it wasn't a complete business, which I want to have a look at. And the introduction to those is in verse 19, which we have here. And it says, "And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come." Well, if Jesus was telling us that this man, this farmer, was about to retire and pass the farm on to his children, that might be a bit relevant, but this way it's not. It's something that is particularly difficult, because he is saying the sort of thing that Jesus is suggesting we should not say in this situation. Why? One or two particular reasons why. And when we look at the next couple of slides, they are very specific in how they word themselves. And I think one reason for that is that this parable only occurs in Luke's gospel. And Luke was very, very careful at finding out what was said in the gospels and writing things down exactly and fully. And I think he actually was very careful indeed on what he wrote down and why he wrote it down on this particular thing. Because now we're on this first thing still, but what is the problem? The problem, it's all about me. Now, if you look at that passage, how many me's and my's are they? Just in that little bit. Well, I've counted 14, or there could be 15. And is that what he's saying to himself? He is the most important person in the world 14 times over. And having had a successful and proper business, that is what he's saying. Which is exactly what Jesus says we should not be saying that. If we do well, we should not have I's and my's everywhere. He said to himself, Luke wrote. And I can imagine when Luke was writing it, he said, yes, I'll put it that way. Not just he said, but he said to himself, my. What should I do? I know. And you could say that's duplication, Luke. And you say, well, that's what Jesus said, because he was double emphasizing all this. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger. Then, oh yes, so I don't forget, I'll have room enough to store all whose wheat, my wheat, oh, and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to who? Myself. Oh, my friend. Who's my friend? I am my friend. I'm my best friend. I'm my only friend. My friend, you, that is me. Oh, it's the first time I've said you, isn't it? But I've only said it about me. You stored enough away for years to come. And then he quoted something from the Old Testament, which only appeared a couple of times, but was pretty well synonymous with this. He said, now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds a good idea, doesn't it? So that's what he was taking. See, if he was actually ready to retire, you could imagine he'd be thinking like that, but this clearly wasn't the case here. He was saying, no, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, if you look back at one or two of the Old Testament passages, that's not quite the end of the verse or so that we've been pretty well quoting here, because it goes on and it stops in this parable from verse 20 onwards. It stops talking about I and my. Let's go on to the next slide and see what it's talking about. The second item here, first the bottom line, the second is God's response. What's the opening word of that? My favourite word? You know, in my sermons, that's a favourite word, isn't it? The but. Because you know when you read the but at the beginning of one of the parables or whatever, then things can turn themselves upside down. But God said to him, ah. And then instead of the I's and my's, what have we got now? You's. I didn't count them, but there's at least half a dozen of them anyway. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Now, when I was saying a moment ago that the eat, drink, and be merry in one or two places in the Old Testament has got another phrase to follow it on, guess what that phrase is? You will eat, drink, and be merry, but tomorrow you will die. And obviously there was a thought about that verse when Jesus was saying this. And that's interesting, because it wasn't necessarily a case that having been like that, somebody's going to die straight away. But what it means is that our legacy is not achieved. If we're in the situation where somebody's had a good life and made good profits and good results out of it, but it's all because of him or herself saying, I all the time, and God says, no, that's not going to work. You're a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Our legacy is not received. Our legacy is not achieved. So what we could have had happen hasn't happened. Who will get everything you worked for? And one of the things that came out of this, and I thought of it here, is that one or two of the things I read were saying things like, you only live once. And then I thought of that James Bond film, which is what? You twice. And I can't remember the plot behind that, but it's on ITV4 at the moment, the Bond film, so I'm sure I'll watch that one of these days, if I'm allowed to. God, there's a look at there. We'll see. But it goes with the fact that you don't only live once. But this particular person was only taking into account life as it is now. He didn't think there was anything worth bothering with afterwards. The but was such an important thing that it completely ruined all of the things that he was thinking about in terms of where he was going. We thought, well, that's actually saying something quite significant about how we or others should respond if things go well in our lives, like they did for this particular rich farmer. And the self-I every time, again and again and again, leading to, you fool, you will not have a future to look forward to. Things will most likely go wrong as you are now if all you do is think of yourself. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't there a better way, something better than that? A little verse in the Bible that says what's better to do than that? If we have some good successes, if we have a good bottom line, or even if we don't, what would be something better that we can do? Well, you can probably think of verses, but I have a bit of my favourite passage from Ephesians chapter 4, which is up here now. You're getting it just right, aren't you? The very thing. And I didn't have to have my thing to press. I knew you'd get it right. And this is the last slide, you see, and it's about time for the last slide. So there you are. I love the way the Bible says these things in Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3, and then hops to verse 15, one of my favourite passages here. But when you think, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry, and just think of the quality of the individual words on Ephesians 4, because I just wanted to put these together in terms of what they were. And it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Unity is a big word that we shouldn't forget. Through the bond of peace. And then one of my favourite verses, one of my favourite clauses, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. I love that expression, speaking the truth in love. And I know I've mentioned it here before once or twice, but I don't hesitate to do it again. You can speak the truth, but not in love. And then you speak nasty things, even when they're true, and upset people when you could have said it a different way. And you try and speak with somebody in love, but then hold back the truth when there's bad things happening. So I love that little expression, speaking the truth in love, because it puts the two together. So there we have it. What you've got there is a good parable about the rich farmer. And I put here the suggestion for a better ending to it than actually happened. So how about that?